Okay. Where the shiur is about how to run a seder. Baruch Hashem, I've been running starim for large amounts of people for over 20 years. Last year I had 125 people at my seder.
You did the trips
in Greece.
Yes. They paid to come to you, Rev.
And it's not easy when you have a lot of people to keep them together. But I don't think it's all that much different when you have even a small gathering, a family gathering. I don't think it has to be that much different. What I've seen is that a lot of people often miss of making the Seder what it really should be. And that is probably the most important evening in the entire year. The main thing, as Stephen Covey says, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? The main thing of Leil HaSeder is Lahalel ulahodot l'ribono shel olam, that He made us into a people and He made us His. Leil HaSeder is a Laila of Emuna. It's a Laila where it's a night, an evening, where you can instill in yourself and in your family and everybody that's at the Seder an injection of adrenaline, of emuna, which can and should last you an entire year. It's a laila of emuna, it's a laila of ahava. Of ahava between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the objective is always to keep in mind. The objective is to get to such a feeling that I want to be mahalel umodeh, lahalel ulahodot to HaKadosh Baruch. The story is told about a doctor who's called to a patient, and he sees the patient. The patient's very sick, and the doctor says, "Oh, I know exactly what he needs." He writes a prescription, and he says, "Have him take this with a glass of water twice a day. In a few days, maximum a week, he'll be fine. He'll be cured." Anyway, doctor goes home, and about a week later, the relatives of the patient come to the doctor, and they say that not only didn't he get better, he got a lot worse. So the doctor asked him, what did you do? This always works. This prescription always works. He says, "We did exactly what you told us to do. We did exactly what you told us to. We took the prescription and we gave it to him with a glass of water twice a day for the last few days." So he said, "What do you mean?" He says, "We took the prescription, we tore it up into little pieces of paper, we put it into a glass of water, and he drank little pieces of paper every single day, twice a day for a week, and it didn't help." So he says, "You idiots. The ikar wasn't the piece of paper, it was what was written in the piece of paper, the tochen. And the nimshal is, some people think that the haggadah is the words. Say the words. You got to go, blah, 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 blah. Say all the words and you're good. No. The ikar is the tochen of the words. What's written there, understanding and putting it into an effective object. Okay? What should you be saying at the Seder? What should you be saying? And even before we say that, I'm going to answer a question which I asked on the intro or on the the ad. And that was, what's the best haggadah to use? What's the best haggadah to buy? And I gave you a hint, you can't buy it in any store. But you should be starting it if you didn't start it already. The best haggadah, and that's the haggadah that I use, is your own. You write your own haggadah. Mm-hmm. Haggadah Shel Pesach is the most popular sefer written in any, on any piece of Jewish literature. There are more haggadot than anything else. Any other sefer in Jewish literature, nothing even comes close. Mm-hmm. I have downstairs in my room, I have over 100 haggadahs. But that's a tipa shabayam. Because every single rav wrote his own haggadah. Okay? Everybody wrote a haggadah. Because you had to have what to say. And you say the things that you like. You say the things that speak to you. You say the things that inspire you. But not everything that you write in your haggadah, you're supposed to say it to say it. You can write lots of different things, kiddushim, and all kinds of things. But what you're supposed to say at the Seder is much more specific. And that I'm going to get to in a second. But really, all of you, open up a file on your computer or make a notebook and start. It's a lifelong work. It doesn't end. But really, you hear something on the Haggadah, write it down, put it in order. That's why on the computer it's much better. Put it in order, add it in. Oh, wow, that's really nice. I'm going to add it in. And write your own Haggadah, okay? The things that are really speak to you. Because somebody likes this and somebody likes that, but the best Haggadah is your own. Okay. What do you say at the Seder, though? And here I'm going to give some ideas. The most important part of the Haggadah is the text of the Haggadah, is the pshat, not cutesy vartlach. When you have cute vartlach, it doesn't do anything for the main objective. Remember, the objective is to inspire, to bring emuna and ava and halel and hodah. If it doesn't do that, don't say it. It's the pointing in the wrong direction. Everything you say has to have that kivun in mind. If it's just a cute vart, another time. Not at the Seder. The text of the Haggadah. And another very important issue. I saw a statistic which blew my mind a couple of days ago. And this is something which has changed over time, but this is the way life is today. The average attention span that a person can focus when he's not actively involved, that a person can focus on something when he's listening to somebody else, the average attention span is, get this, 11 seconds. 11 seconds. It's scary. Okay? 11 seconds a person can focus before he's thinking about something else. So at the Leila Seder, people are thinking of lots of things. They're thinking about the matzah balls and what's the main course and all kinds of other stuff. All right? A zillion things. They're not active, so they're not thinking of what you're saying necessarily. So remember these numbers. 11, 30, 60. Which means, when you speak at the Seder, and I'm not joking, 11 is their attention span. In other words, you can get away with speaking 30, optimum is 30 seconds. Seriously, 30 seconds. And max, 60 seconds. Don't speak longer than that. You can have a lot of 60 seconds or a lot of 30 seconds. But once you start getting involved with all kinds of explanations and this, forget about it. You lost them. They're not interested. Okay? They're not interested and they're not listening to you. 11, 30, 60. 30 is best. You're explaining. You're explaining as you go. An idea. Quick. Quick and to the point. And it should be on the pshat. Explaining. Forget about things that are very involved. Pshat of the text. number one. Number two, as much as possible, stories are great. Lo hamedrash ikar ela hamaisa. Okay? In other words, the maisala is the story. That's what people can connect to. They love to hear a maisa. They love to hear a story. And if it's a story, you can even actually go beyond the 30, 60 seconds. But not much. Okay. If you have a longer Dvar Torah, say it at the Su'udah. Not before the Su'udah. At the Su'udah, that's a great time to say a longer Dvar Torah. As much as possible, whatever you can, again, the idea is to keep the people involved. Whatever you can sing, sing. Get the people involved by singing. If it's something which you can teach them, put a Kalbach Nigun to something new, and that's an easy tune to catch on to, so do it. Whatever you can sing, sing. People love that. And you can get them involved with that. There is a halacha that we do things in order that the tinokot shelo yiradmu, that the children shouldn't fall asleep, right? So we give out candies, we give out nuts and different things. So some people want to get the kids involved, but they do that with distractions. And I think that is a wrong direction. Okay, I saw that there's a board game. Somebody put out a Seder board game. Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But it's not for the Seder. Because what is it doing? It's distracting them from the Seder and getting them involved in a board game. It's a great thing to do for Shabbos HaGadol or for Pesach afternoon, but not at the Seder. At the Seder, you want to bring them in. You don't want to distract them out with something else. Another thing, and this is became a minhag which people way blew out of proportion, and that's stealing the afikomen. Okay, so many have written against this minhag that it's based on a mistaken reading in some of the rishonim of chotfin et matzah. Okay. And some say, how can we, in the great Laila of Chinuch, where we're teaching our kids, Emuna, Ava, Hallel, Hoda, that great evening of teaching, what are we teaching them? How to steal. That doesn't even make sense. Okay? So, if you have the minhag, okay, not to be mevatel a minhag, but don't make it into the ikar, for sure. Okay? Whether you should be mevatel the minhag or not, that's another question. I'm not a big fan. But you surely, surely, surely shouldn't make that the ikar of the Seder. And that happens in a bunch of places. A lot of families. That becomes the ikari suk of the Seder, stealing the afikomen. Again, it's a giant distraction from where you want the Seder, what you want the Seder to be about. So don't, if you're leading the Seder, don't let that happen. Okay. Also, sometimes the kids come with skits that they bring from school also to get them involved. They put on a little bit of a play or a skit. It's a beautiful thing, okay, that they're going out of Mitzrayim and this is Moshe and this is... It's great, but again, if it ends up being a distraction from the text of the Haggadah, you're missing the point. Do it during the Suda. Do it during lunch the next day, but not at the Seder. Okay. Like everything else, if you don't plan, it's not going to be successful. You have to plan beforehand. You can't come to the Seder and say, okay, let's get started. You have to plan things out. And there are certain things that are really, really important to plan. Especially now, where we have daylight savings time and the Seder starts really late, one of the very more important things is to start quickly. In order to start quickly, you have to make sure everything's prepared, which means the kittel is there, the Seder plate is set, the lettuce is washed, the matzahs are ready to go, the wine's on the table, whatever it is, okay? But if you come home from shul and then all of a sudden you start, let's where's the matzah, if you do that, it can take an hour, okay? One of the problems we had when I was running in the hotel is that things in the hotel take a long time to get the people from shul into the room, get them seated where they're sitting. It's all new to them, and get everything. That actually was a big waste of time. But in a home setting, you don't have to do that. Everything can be prepared beforehand. That's one, number one, in order to start quickly. Number two, and this is even brought down lahalacha, sleep on Erev Yontif. Sleep. It's late, and if you're going to not take a nap, especially the kids, but even the adults, it's really, really important to sleep. Okay? And that's why there are some people, in Chutz Laretz especially, where vacation times are not as easy as they are in Eretz Yisrael. You see, I gave a plug for living in Eretz Yisrael. And work on Erev Yontif. That's really not such a good idea. Okay, my father-in-law, Olive Shalom, was a butcher. The first Seder was a wash. He was up till 3 in the morning the previous evening. The only Seder that he had was the second Seder. That was when he was awake. The first Seder, he was never awake. That's why he had two. Right. What?
It's possibly Yontif the second day.
It's what, Yontif?
Possibly.
Well, whatever. Anyway, if you're giving out portions to people to be involved, which is a great idea, if they're up to it, also to get people involved, that has to be planned beforehand. You can't go and give them at the Seder and say, okay, you say this. You have to plan it out. Before the Seder, you have, let's say, 10 people in your Seder. You say, I want you to say this keta. I want you to explain this piece. I want you to, and everybody, you tell them what you want them to do. You want them to read it, and they have to give a very short, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, inspirational message. It's got to be a message with inspiration. Okay. Now, what's the ikar of the Seder? The ikar of the Seder are the mitzvot of the Seder. And that's what you have to explain, each and every mitzvah. When I say mitzvah, I don't only mean the mitzvot d'oraita, which there are two, matzah and haggadah, or the mitzvah d'rabbanan, which is maror. The mitzvot are the 15 mitzvot of the Seder, which is kadesh, urchatz, karpas, yachatz, etc. Each one of those, and that's how the haggadah that you're writing should be built. First do, write all Kadesh Orchatz, write all of them out. And each one of them, you have the halachot that are for each and every single mitzvah. All the halachot. The mitzvah of Kiddush. What are the halachas? You have it all written down in your Haggadah. But not all of it are you going to say at the Haggadah. Not all of it are you going to say at the Seder. For instance, you don't have to go and say, what do you do if you don't have wine? Can you use raisin wine? There's all kinds of halachot like that, which are not shayach for the Seder. They're important halachot to know, which you have to learn. But it's not the things you have to say at the Seder. If someone's sick and he can't drink even grape juice, he can only drink this. That's not what you have to say. You have to say, for instance, before, if you're running the Seder, you have to say a few halachot that are really, really important. Number one, you have to have kavana, that you're mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush, and kavana that you're mekayim the first one of the Arba Kosot. You have to have kavana for that. When you say Shechianu, you should have kavana for all the mitzvot of the entire night. Number two. Number three, the shiurim. Okay? The shiur of... I have a marker. Okay? The shiurim of how much you have to drink. 86 cc is the shiur of Reb Chaim Noah, and that's gematria kos, easy to remember. Gematria kos is 86 cc. Okay? Gematria kos hagun is 150 cc. And that's the Chazon Ish. In ounces, it comes out to 3.3 and 5.5 ounces. Okay? That's important, that's the shiur. And l'chatchila, you should drink it's a kos. You have to drink the entire kos. B'dieved, rubo kukulo, and that's also good. Rov kos. But you got to drink rov kos. Okay? Haseba, on the left-hand side, you have to drink with haseba. All the four kosot. Now, how do you do haseba? You have to explain to the people, how do they do haseba? How do you do a seva on a chair like this when everybody's sitting like this? It's very easy. You take the chair and you put it sideways and you lean on your left side. If you lean like this, that's not leaning. That's in midair. You're not doing anything. You have to lean on something. So if you turn your chair around a little bit and you lean on the back of the chair but to the left, that's a seva. Okay? Not everybody has an armchair with pillows and all that stuff. You could theoretically, yeah, sure. Okay. Now, you're supposed to drink bitoch the zman of shtiyat revi'it. All right? Shtiyat revi'it, which is really seconds, the amount of time it takes you to drink a revi'it. But b'diyeved, it could also be toch kedei achilat pras, which is a couple of minutes. Those are the halachot you have to say. Not more than that. It's like four or five halachot. You don't have to get involved with anything. But those are really important. The shir is important. The seva is important. You have to remind the people. Not everybody remembers inyanim of haseba, etc. The main halachot, not the outlandish cases. And with each mitzvah, a short inspirational message. We start off the Seder with Kiddush because we were in Memtet Sha'arei Tuma. And the first thing that Hashem let us do is to sanctify ourselves, to be Mekadesh ourselves. And we start off that we are Mekadesh ourselves and we are Mekadesh the Chag, and that's what we say at Kiddush. When you have a mitzvah like Kiddush, where there's a few halachot, you're at the beginning, and people already want to get started, the inspirational message has to be really, really short. So that's it. That's all you have to say. And then you keep going. Okay. Now, I want to talk about the typical Seder and the way it should be. Okay? The typical Seder is way it shouldn't be, okay? I'm just saying that not that everybody does it this way, but too often it's done this way. It takes a long time to get started. Magid is really long because there are a lot of divrei Torah that the teachers want to impress the parents, and they had the kids remember these long divrei Torah, and the guests and even the parents after a few minutes are bored out of their minds because the kid's going on and on and on, and okay, let's get on with this already. A long seuda with meaningless conversation. And since it's late and everybody's really, really tired, at the end, it's a really quick run, quick singing, and an escape, and half the people will leave in the middle of Hallel and Nirtzah. That's a typical seder. The way it should be is very different. The way it should be is, first of all, you get started immediately. No messing around. You're prepared, you get started. Okay, you get started immediately. Magid, in other words, until the mitzvot of Matzah Maror, should be relatively quick. Relatively quick. You say the Magid, yes. You say every word, yes. Again, as I said, with as much singing as you can. And quick, to the point, inspirational messages on the Kta'im. You explain what's said. The Haggadah speaks for itself. Most of it is really inspirational as it is. You explain what it says. Many people don't understand what it says. So you say, you explain what it says. And you can add in a little bit. But not a ton. Not a ton. Because the Maggid portion should not be extra long. Should not be extra long. You want to get to the Su'udah, to the mitzvot. The Iker is the mitzvot. Matzah, Maror, etc. The Su'udah, again, should not be dragged out. And surely, you do it efficiently. Relatively quickly, the Su'udah. With meaningful conversation. Meaning that your Divrei Torah that you wanted to say, the longer Divrei Torah, or the kids' Divrei Torah, or whatever it is, don't do that during Maggid. Do that during the Su'udah. That's the time for it. Because then there is a few minutes, they're bringing out in between the courses or whatever, don't talk about how badly the Knicks did this year. Okay? That's not conversation that you want to have at your Seder. Okay? You want to speak Divrei Torah at the Suda is not just Stam. Shulchan Aruch is one of the simanim of the Seder because it's part of the Avoda. Okay. Quick Suda. Again, not to feel like you're rushed, but relatively quick with Torah conversation. And then Halel and Nirtza Benachat Ubesimcha. Because remember, that was the main thing. The main thing was to get to this point of Halel Vodah. All of what we did that whole night, all the preparation that we did the week before, it was all to get to Halel. L'Halel Vodah, that was the whole point of the whole thing. And inspire us for an entire year. So what happens? You do all this stuff, and then the Halel Vodah, half the people are out the door because it's too late and they're exhausted. That doesn't make sense. That's the time where you want everybody there, and everybody involved, and everybody staying till the end. Okay? Last few years in the hotel, I finished at 2 in the morning. Okay? The vast majority of the people stayed with me. And they came over and they said they never stayed at a Seder till the end of their lives. It's the first time. Okay? Because if you have that part of the feeling, then people stick it out. Because they enjoy being there. It's inspirational. One last idea before we get into some things of ideas of what to say is that this is one of the most beautiful evenings in the year. But as beautiful as it is, and this is something which you should mention at the Seder, but as beautiful as it is, it's not the real thing. And people have to remember that. It's not really the way the Seder is supposed to be. Because the Seder is supposed to be in Yerushalayim with the Korban Pesach. And people have to realize that this is like Ki'ilu, I'm doing it. But I'm not really doing it. Twice a year, we sing L'shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. The end of Yom Kippur and the end of the Seder, towards the end of the Seder. Why dafka those two times a year? Because those are the two maybe most happy and highs of the year, spiritual highs of the year. But as high spiritually as it is, we have to realize that as great a feeling and as beautiful as it was and as amazing as it was, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Because both of those are very different than what Pesach is supposed to be. It's supposed to be with the Korban Pesach. Lail of Yom Kippur is supposed to be very, very different. It's supposed to be the end of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol and the Beit HaMikdash. And the way we do it is totally different. It's beautiful, it's great, it's amazing. But it's way different than what it's supposed to be. And the same thing with Leila Seder. And people have to realize that too. As great as it is, we're missing a lot. Okay, two more things. This is a night of chinuch for everybody there. For our children, grandchildren, ourselves. There's a story with the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim came to the mikveh and he asked the guy in charge of the mikveh. He says, Reb Shmuel, is the mikveh hot? So he says, yeah, sure. I just added water. It's hot. Chafetz Chaim says, I went into the mikveh, it was freezing cold. Come out, Shmuel, how can you say it was hot? He says, I just added water. So the Chafetz Chaim went to the vat where the water that he poured from, and he sees that the water that he poured from was warm, wasn't hot. So he says, Shmuel, if the vat that you're pouring from is boiling hot, then the mikveh water that you're pouring into will be warm. But if the vat that you're pouring from is warm only, when you pour it into the mikveh, it's going to be ice cold. And the nimshel is, if you're the mechanech, you're the father, you're the one leading the Seder, if you're full of itlavut, if you're full of fire and energy, then there's a chance that your children will be warm spiritually. But if you're sort of warm, hot and cold, once you pour it onto your children, they'll be ice cold. The guy leading the Seder has to be full of energy. If you're leading the Seder, you have to be full of energy, full of itlavut, full of excitement about what you're doing. And then you have a chance to excite others and inspire others. You have to be inspired in order to inspire others. If you come to the Seder, oh boy, I'm really tired. I worked so hard today. I was running around, I was this. You come exhausted and without energy, that's what it's going to look like. You have to be full of energy. And the Oreich Seder can't let the Seder run on autopilot. He's got to take charge. The Oreich Seder has to really run the show. You have to really make sure that you are in charge and you make sure that things move smoothly and the way they're supposed to with a lot of energy. You can't just let things happen. Now, you guys are probably, I imagine, not running the Seder this year. Okay? Maybe you are, if you're... But most of you, Baruch Hashem, will be at your parents' or grandparents' Seder. But what you could do is talk things over beforehand, and it could be that they'll want you to be involved somehow, and you could do some kind of partnership and some kind of things that you can instill into the Seder and talk things out beforehand. Just to give a couple more ideas of how you would approach some of the mitzvot, and then we're going to end because there's Pachad Yitzchak tonight, and I know some guys want to go. So we said about Kadesh, then you go to Urchatz. So again, Urchatz is really kind of simple. You tell the people that they wash their hands without a bracha, and you explain the reason. Because it's a davar shetibulo b'mashke, and on a davar shetibulo b'mashke, we are supposed to wash hands, And there are different menagim. Some people are not makbid on it during the year, and some people are makbid on it during the year. So the ones who are makbid during the year, they do it all the time. The ones that are not, some have a minig that only the Orech Seder washes his hands. Some have a minig that even though you don't do it all year round, you do it now. But not a lot of halachot when it comes to Urchatz. But there is a tremendous message of Kadesh Urchatz. Because Urchatz is the only one with a Vavachibur. The only simon with a Vavachibur. And since it has a Vavachibur, that means it's directly connected with Kadesh. Kadesh Urchatz, it goes together. And the fact is, if somebody's rolling in the mud, he can't really go and bring great sanctity while he's filthy with mud. First wash yourself, and then sanctify yourself. The great chesed of the night of Pesach was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us do Kiddush before the Urchatz. It's Kadesh Urchatz, even though it should have been Rechatz Kadesh. Because we were in Mem Tet Sharei Tuma. The Malachim said, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. We did not deserve to be let out of Mitzrayim. Why were we let out of Mitzrayim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us. And he loved us because he loved the Avot. And because of that love, he let us be Mekadesh before Urchatz. Kadesh Urchatz. The great love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. Again, short, to the point, inspirational message. That's it. That's all you have to say. But you got to say something. Each one of the mitzvot, you say something. Okay. Karpas. Okay? Karpas. Here, there's more to say because there's more halachot involved. It's got to be, now here's an interesting thing. How much of this you have to say is debatable. Depends on your crowd. But really, karpas is supposed to be a yirakot, right? Yirakot. Sha'ar yirakot, right? What color are yirakot? Yerek, exactly. Okay, many Ashkenazim use a potato. Why is that? That's not green. Why is that? Because there were no green vegetables at this time of year in Europe. Okay? Everything was under the ground. The only thing that they had that grew in the ground at this time of year were potatoes, so they used potatoes. But really, you're supposed to use something that is green, a green vegetable, that cannot be used for the maror. In my house, we use celery. All right? But many houses use potatoes. Fine. Supposed to eat less than a kezayit, because there's a whole shadow with bracha achrona. You make a bar pri adama and you have in mind also for the maror. These are the halachot that you're supposed to say. One other thing that you could say quickly is that there's two reasons for the karpas. One is shishim perach. Karpas is otiyot shishim perach. Shishim ribo avdu avodat parech. Meaning it's a symbol of the tsar of the avdut. Or it's an appetizer that b'nei malachim ate. All right? Which is an extra course with b'nei malachim. Which is a sign of cherut. So is karpas cherut or avdut? Machloket. Do we do a seba for karpas? It's a machloket. What's it totally on? Is it because of shishim perach? Or is it because of an appetizer of B'nai Malachim? Is it because of Cherut or because of Avdut? If it's because of Avdut, we're not going to do a Seba. If it's because of Cherut, we will do a Seba. There are two Minhagim. And people should understand, whatever the Minhag is, what their time is. One other idea, and with this we'll end. An inspirational message that you could say about the Karpas. Chur Karpas Utchelet, we just read in the Megillah. Karpas is like the ketonet pasim of Yosef. We dip in the Mei Melach. The very first time that dipping appears in the Torah and Tanakh is when they dip the blood of the Ketonet Pasim, the Ketonet Pasim in the blood, to bring back to Yaakov that Ki'ilu Yosef was killed. In other words, the Mechira of Yosef is symbolized here in the Karpas. The dipping of the blood. The Sinat Chinam was the cause of the Galut of Mitzrayim, and it was the cause of all the Galuyot that came afterwards. What was the Tikkun? The Tikkun was dipping of the blood of the Korban Pesach. That's the second time that Litbol appears in the Torah. The Korban Pesach was the Tikkun of the Mechira of Yosef. The chait of Sinat Chinam is the reason for the Galut. The reason for the Geula, which is going to come, B'mheir V'yameinu, is because of the Achdut. We take an Agudah together, and we dip that Agudah in the blood, and we put it on the doorpost, and everybody is coming together for Leil HaSeder, families come together. The Ahavat Achim, the Ahavat Chinam, is going to, what is that which is going to bring the Geula in the future. And that's the idea of the Karpas. The Chait and the Tikkun. The Avdut and the Chelut coming together is going to bring the Geula, which is what this is all about. That's what you say. These kind of inspirational messages. Everybody, Lefi, your own personality and your own time. But that's about the amount of time that you should talk, not longer. And that's the kind of talk that you should talk. Short, to the point, with a message. Not just a cute vart. And you should all come out of the Seder inspired because you're inspiring others. And everybody should have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach and a great Ben Azmanim and Hatzlacha.
The basic reason for Karpas is that